Welcome back to Shadows from the Tree. In this episode, we're going to dive into the darker side of genealogy by exploring a story pulled from newspaper archives and using historical record that is actually about our family history. This is the moment, Michelle, yeah. We have been waiting for.
And this was the reason we started it all.
It is, yeah. We read this one article about our ancestor, and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to do something with this.
Yeah.
And so we've got some practice in, right? We had 9 episodes of practicing and fine-tuning our volume and all that good stuff. But we are very excited for this episode. We are calling it episode 10.1 because we are going to do it in 3 parts because there's so much detail and we want to really set up the story for all of you who are listening. So we're going to get started. So here we go. We're going to just introduce our family members here in the first episode and give some detail and backstory. And so Michelle is going to represent one of the family members, and I'm going to represent another. And my family member is the older of the two. So I'm going to get started. And this family member is William M. Ide. And he is actually my 3rd great-grandfather. So, you know, if you think about it, it doesn't feel that attached saying 3rd great-grandparent. Yeah. You know, it's not like 6th or 7th. It's like, okay, that's still pretty close. So I'm really excited and anxious to kind of share all the details with you. So William M. Ide, he was born in Foster, Rhode Island in May of 1827. And his parents were Oliver H. Ide, who was born in 1798, and Penelope Hopkins Dorr, who was born in 1804. Penelope, her family does have ties to the Dorr Rebellion that happened in Rhode Island. So if you're a history person out there, that's sort of another interesting thing to follow up on. That's his parents, and he is one of 8 kids. And he has an older brother, George, who was born in 1819. And when I was first looking through records, I noticed like a 8-year gap between when George was born and when William was born. And so I started digging in to get all the, you know, details of the other family members.
Right.
And I did notice that between George and William, there were 2 children, I believe girls, Paris and Lavina. So I know this family had some pretty cool namings, yeah. I think. But they were babies who were born, one in 1823 and one in 1825. And they didn't live past, one lived until 3 and the other lived a year about. So I haven't dug in to go actually find the death certificates there, like in the town hall or anything, but that's definitely something I'd want to add to my...
See the reason.
Yeah, why, add to my journey later. I'm assuming illness, right? Sickness, probably.
It'll probably say, like, consumption, which is tuberculosis.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Typical, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. So very sad. And the cool thing about what the research I was finding was on Find a Grave, there's all pictures of the headstone, so you could read what their names were, the dates, and I'll have to do some more digging to actually, or share in another episode, some of like the phrases that were left on there as well. So we had the 2 children who unfortunately didn't make it, and they both died in 1826. So not only did you lose one kid, you lose a second, which also just plays into the theory of sickness.
Transmittable disease.
Exactly. Yeah. But another odd thing that happened in 1826 is, right after these babies had passed or during, Oliver, William's dad, puts a posting in the newspaper. And it's kind of a shocker because, I'm going to read it because it's short. It says, notice. All persons are hereby forbid harboring or trusting my wife Penelope Ide, On my account, she has left my bed and board and otherwise behaved in an unbecoming manner. I am determined not to pay any debts of her contracting after this date. Foster, February 11th. Oliver H. Ide. So...
Yikes. What did she do?
But this is the thing, right? So she had George when she was, timing-wise, 15 years old, okay? So she has George very, very young.
As a child herself, yeah.
Yeah, child herself. She this year she's losing two children, so did she go off the deep end a little bit? Probably. But that makes it seem like, was she going to somebody else, you know? So, I don't know. No story like that. That was left out of the folklore here.
She didn't write a rebuttal or anything.
She didn't. Would have been a good one.
Right?
So that was just an interesting thing along the way as far as finding research and why we love here at Shadows from the Tree newspapers, because although some don't have accurate truth, you can hypothesize what you think was going on when telling your story. So that was 1826. So then in 1850, we jump, and the family's living in Gloucester, Rhode Island. So at some point, they moved from Foster to Gloucester, which is a neighboring town, so not too far off. And then 1860, I see some of them are back in Foster. So looks like they might have, moved back and forth. And on some of the censuses I saw, like he was Oliver the Dow was a laborer, a mechanic, and I also saw that on some of Williams as well. And so then we get into 1861, so July 8th of 1861, Oliver the Dad writes a will. So I'm assuming he must have known something was coming health-wise, so he wrote a will, and he first left everything to his wife, Penelope. So obviously they continued their marriage and
something was fixed there.
Wasn't
the end of it.
It wasn't. So he left everything to Penelope. And then second, he left to his two sons, like equally, his two youngest sons, who were Almond and Leonard. So at that time, they would have been 15 and 12 years old. So still quite sad that, he's writing a will and they're so young. But he left, I actually have a picture of the will that we went to town hall and got to see it written up and see Oliver's signature and stuff, was cool. But he left, it said the estate and all the buildings on the land, the livestock, the furniture. I mean, there wasn't anything like different on there that I was like, oh, wow. But, the typical thing, everything that they had. And it was quite a bit of land as well. And some of it did border North Scituate as well. And I'm just going to read a quick little line that was in one of the newspapers of just what this land kind of looked like potentially. So it said, "This house is located on a picturesque and romantic spot on a side of a hill dotted with a vast number of moss-covered boulders, and before a magnificent view of a valley through which several brooklets flow increasingly and beyond a circle of hills upon whose summit are lofty trees." So, sounds wonderful.
Picturesque.
So, Foster's known to be very
wooded.
Wooded, yes. Yeah. Lots of land and things like that. And also kind of remote back in the day from...
Still remote,
but, it would take, people probably weren't just going to travel there just because. So he writes the will, and then August 24, 1861, he dies. So a month, a little over a month more. And consumption, so AKA tuberculosis.
Yep.
So he passes away, and... everything goes to Penelope because, that was the first choice. So in October of 1861, that's when the probate did go through so that she could get everything. So it took a little while for everything to work itself out from a legal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on to William getting married. So I could not find a marriage certificate. I'm not letting it go. I will continue to search. But he marries Mary Green, and she was born in 1842, and she was from Canterbury, Connecticut, and her parents were Nathan and Roxy. And I'm assuming very shortly after they got married, they had their first child. So James A. Ide, who was born July 4th, 1863, which is cool.
Right.
He was born in Gloucester, Rhode Island, so William must have stayed there while Oliver and Penelope probably moved, or at that point, Penelope moved back to Foster. So James A. Ide is actually my second great-grandfather. So that's how I kind of continue my tree down. So he was born in Gloucester, and then in 1865, we see him, William, Mary, and James living in Gloucester. Also in 1865, though, is the death of the two youngest siblings.
Hmm.
Yeah, Almond and Leonard. So they both died the same year, which is just like those other two babies, right, that they had both died the same year. Leonard, I couldn't find a death certificate, but on one of the sites, I think it was Find a Grave, someone had listed that it was typhoid fever, and he was 16 years old, which is sad. And then Almond, the same thing on Find a Grave, someone had wrote that he was a Civil War soldier. He was a private in the 3rd Regiment, Company A of the RI Heavy Artillery, and he was captured August 17th, 1864, at Gainesville, Florida. And he survived being held prisoner in Georgia, and then he was paroled only to die of disease in March of 1865. Gosh. Yeah, and
so
he died.
So make it through all that, and then...
At how old? 17, 18? I know, it's crazy. Awful. Yeah, so supposedly whoever wrote that, and again, you always want to verify your research, so I wasn't able to do that specifically, but going off of this tidbit from somebody, yeah, he died in 1865, so very, very sad. So then it kind of leaves the will open, right? Like, what's going to happen after Penelope? Because now he only left the will to his sons. And in the will, he had even said that if one brother passes away, doesn't have any children, that the other brother should get the full. Like, he didn't just say, split it between my other kids. It was only these two boys. Which has me questioning, but they were living at home at the time, so maybe he felt the others are well
established
off.
Established already.
Yeah. So.
Or he didn't like them.
That's true. That is true.
Seems like he had a.
He had maybe a flare. So they died in 1865, and then Mary and William had their second child, Emily Ide, who was born in 1867. And then their third child, Mary Ide, after the mother, was born March 3rd, 1868. And you don't really hear, I feel like back then you did hear of mothers naming their kids after themselves, but I feel like that kind of faded, and now you only hear about juniors on, like, the male side.
Yeah.
So they ended up having three children, and that's all they had in total. I didn't come across any, you know, what was very common back in the day of miscarriages or, you know, infants not making it long. So they had the three. And his wife, Mary, very shortly after, a little over a month, April 21st of 1868, at the age of 26, because she was younger than William, she died. And the cause of the death listed, you know, when I went into the town hall and opened up the death records, it was milk leg, which I think you originally found too.
Yeah.
And we were like, what is that, you know? And it's basically deep vein thrombosis, so
yeah,
complications due to that. And I did read a little bit that it derived from the belief that the condition was caused by breastfeeding. But nowadays it is understood that pregnancy and childbirth are a risk for the DVT.
Right. She probably had blood pressure issues and
So they weren't
preeclampsia associated with
the
birth.
Yeah. So that happened for her, unfortunately. And so there he is. He's in 1868. I'm assuming, living by himself with his three children. So I don't want to spoil anything. So I'm going to leave it at that for now as a backstory. And I'm going to hand it over to Michelle.
All right. So I am covering the other family member. So we have Jeanette Davis. Okay, she was born a little bit after Christmas, so December 27th of 1853. So she's considerably younger than the counterpart of William.
Okay.
When was his birth?
1827.
Okay, so 25 years. Okay. Just laying that out there. She was born in Killingly, Connecticut, so kind of bordering Rhode Island,
yeah.
You know, close by. Her parents, Horatio Levins Davis, he was 27, and her mother was 21, Jane Mercy Adams. According to the birth record in Killingly, it listed her dad, Horatio, was a laborer. Okay. So he probably worked the fields and, you know, provided for the family. A few years later, so 1855, 2 years later, her sister Angeline is born. So I'm sure they were really, you know, close sisters, you know.
Yeah.
That's how that goes. And 1859, she did have a brother as well, born William H. Davis. So they were all listed on the 1860 census, still in Killingly, still, you know.
Okay.
Dad was a laborer. But a few years later, 1862, so this is like heart of the Civil War era.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like he enlists and he joins up with the Connecticut infantry and he ends up leaving out of New Haven. So I was able to track down the company number he was in, and there was a ship that they were on. And I was able to, you know, there was actually a whole book about this group, this infantry that he was in. And they went to New Orleans on the time he was part of that in 1862. So
you've done some digging since we first started.
I know. It's been a lot. But he goes down there, and according to the book, there were where they sent them through the swamps. And then several members of the group didn't return. So unfortunately, it was reported back to his wife and children that he was no longer with us, and that was not a good place to be for young Jeanette and her mother Jane, and then she had two other siblings already. So it was.
It's like the woman in that time was going to go jump and get a job at a factory or with little kids.
And I don't think she had, like, been taught to read or write. Yeah. It was probably a really difficult time for her. I'm just imagining, like, your dad leaving and, like, you don't know if he's ever coming back. And then, of course, the worst happened to her. So even from a young age, it seems poor Jeanette is just got
dealt a bad hand.
Yeah, not a good situation to be in. So that was in 1862. It was reported July 31st that he had mustered out. So that meant he had passed away. But strangely enough, in 1863, she does have another sibling born. So with the dates here, it doesn't seem like it's a full brother. It's probably half brother. His name's Amasa. He was born in 1863. They do move to Gloucester. There was a census in 1865.
Okay, I did see that one.
For Gloucester, and it does list the mother, Jane Davis, Jane M. Davis, and then it lists Jeanette and all the other siblings, Angeline, William, and Amasis. There's a couple other,
but no father living on the record for this potential new child.
No father. So there's then the new baby. I think he was 2 at the time. So there's no record of a father there. I even tried to look up his birth record, and there was it just had like a line through the father name. So
maybe she didn't even know.
Yeah,
depending.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I'm sure it was a hard time. I don't know. like, they were almost like an afterthought on the census. Like, they're on the very last page.
Oh, I think you remember so, saying so that.
I'm like, wondering if they were in, like, a special housing situation. Maybe. Or they were, she was, like, you know, taking care of someone else's house. Or, I don't know. Like, they didn't list her occupation.
And it wasn't, like, a boarding house. Because you typically would have seen that.
Like, they called them, like, infirmaries and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah. To house the homeless. There were areas, like, in towns that, you know, yeah. It was almost like a shelter they would have for families. I wondered if they lived there. But according to this, a couple years later, in 1867, there's records of Jeanette Davis marrying a Henry Putnam.
Oh. We're back to Henry. Well, I haven't read. Me and Michelle worked on this a long time ago, and we both decided, hey, let's just re-dig into different stories. So I haven't heard some of these facts in a while. So, yeah, like yes, I forgot. Henry Putnam.
Yeah. And sometimes he's listed as Henry Butler. There's, like, other family trees have, like, conflicting data. Personally, I feel like, based on my research, I think his name is Henry Putnam. And they got married in Killingly, back in her old hometown. So he was older than her, for sure. Based on this, it looks like at least 10 years older. But
so how old is she?
She was 13.
Oh my gosh, yes, this is.
Yeah, 13 years old.
13.
And on the marriage record, it says 15 or 16, so it was like legal, you know, like a legal marriage in a...
On paper.
Yeah. But...
And she had to, at 13, like, what else was she going to do with her family who's already...
They probably weren't...
In poverty.
Yeah, she probably didn't have enough food to eat at home or...
So, yeah, the mom's like, you're the oldest daughter, you need to...
Figure it out.
Get married in 13, though. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So... It's terrible.
It's not good. So, according to this, he was 10 years older. He could have been more, less, like... Yeah. They've lied on things, yes. So I feel like to get it through, it could have been anything, really. So 1867, that marriage doesn't seem like it lasts very long because he shows up on another marriage certificate, and it's to a Mary Blackmore, who lived, like, next door to the Putnams. Yes. So... I think, like, there was some kind of scandal.
Oh, my goodness.
And poor Jeanette gets left out in the cold again. And
it's just this poor girl. This is her story.
Yeah.
Just one thing after another.
Yeah. So she, unfortunately, that didn't last. I don't know. Maybe was, who knows if that was a good marriage.
Yeah.
Well, at 13.
Like, you also think, what's his gameplay there? Like, he's that much older. Was he doing it out of pity, in a sense? Was he a family friend and just trying to help?
Yeah.
Who knows, really?
Seems like a awful combination of events for this poor girl. She does end up back in Gloucester. She's on another census. And I don't know if this is where we want to loop it back. Together?
Yeah, I think we should loop it back. So, yeah, so in 1870, I'll just tie it back first to her mother living technically at dwelling number 499 as a housekeeper with the Angelina and William. And right next door as a neighbor at dwelling 498 in Gloucester is head of house William Ide at 41 years old, listed as a carpenter at this point in time.
Yep.
Next is James, my second great grandfather, at 6 years old.
That's his son.
His son.
Yep.
His daughter Emily, listed at 3 years old.
Yep.
And I did see in 1870 in Foster, Mary, their third child, was listed on that census as 2 years old living with Penelope. So I don't know. I think sometimes they couldn't mix it up because if their child was visiting, they might just put them down or whatever. Right. Or maybe the wife died and maybe they needed help and the grandma took
over.
What
year did she die?
She died, so this was 1870, and the wife died in, let me go back to my note here. Where are you? The wife died in 1868. Yes. So he would have been 2 years without,
yep,
you know, child help, I guess. But that is where this, when we first found this, it was like shocking.
Yeah.
That's next on the list is Almeda J. Putnam. So Almeda was her middle name.
Yep.
Almeda J. Putnam, 16 years old, listed as keeping house with a daughter under her, Laura J. Putnam.
Right.
Two months old.
Yeah. And by then, the marriage with Putnam had already dissolved and he had already married another. Yeah. So
here we are, right? We're thinking about this article. We know what happened and we can't wait to share. But when we first saw that, it's like, why is she solicited as Putnam?
Right.
Who is his daughter? Who does his daughter belong to?
Yeah.
She's 16 years old, has a kid.
Yep.
A child. And, you know, and why is she with William?
Like, keeping house, I
guess. Keeping house. He is desperate.
The wife is gone. He needs
with his her mom living right next door.
Yeah. I think the mom found a convenient solution to having an extra mouth to feed. It feels like, I don't know. I just, the whole getting married at 13. As a mother, like, how could you even be okay with that? But is that the only option? Like,
right.
What are your options for her and her family?
Yeah, so this is, you know, the start.
Just the tip. The tip of that iceberg.
And
we
it
are
gets
gonna go
very, very...
wild and crazy.
Juicy in detail, I guess. So, thanks for listening in. This next one you are not going to want to miss because it is just going to tie everything together and you are going to hear things that you would be very surprised just in hearing in general. And it's even surprising because it's my relative. So stay tuned.
It's only just begun.
Yes.